grace, mercy, and peace are yours this day from God our Father through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When the disciples reached Jesus, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." They began discussing it among themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. In the holy and blessed name of Jesus, amen. There's an old proverb that I don't know whether it's a blessing or a curse, a request for God's beneficence, or an unfortunate reality in which we live. But the wish to another person goes like this: "May you live in interesting times." I don't know about you. I find the times in which we live interesting in many ways, and difficult in many more ways than they are interesting. As we live in this world that we live in today, all of us, I don't care who you are, have friends and neighbors. You rub shoulders with people who aren't believers in Christ. You come in contact with them in some way, even if you don't go outside your home much. These are beamed into your home. You hear them, you see them, you pay attention to them. It is an increasingly common reality. I read a statistic today that said we have gone in a very short time from 90% of the people in certain polls who at least claim a belief in God. That doesn't mean they're Christian. They just have some sort of belief in God. We're now down to 74%. That's a pretty large jump. When you start looking more specifically at those who actually claim and hold on to the name of Christ, well, that number has fallen so precipitously that I don't even like to think about it. We live in interesting times, to be sure. One of the things and one of the realities that we live within is a reality of our own imagination. We like to think that our friends, no matter who they are, just like us. After all, that's why we're friends. They think like us. They act like us. They behave like us. Or we share some sort of affinity with them in some way. And this causes us to be unguarded with them. That's why we like hanging out with them. We don't have to be on our guard about every little thing when we're around them. They're our friends. We assume that they have our best interest in mind. In a certain way, this is a good thing. But we should remember a certain caveat to this reality, because things aren't always what they appear. In our epistle lesson, St. Paul gives us a hint of what we should be careful of. In verse 5, he says, "Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit." Now it is good, right, and proper for us, at least and especially among our friends, to think that our friends have our best interest in mind and in their heart. The problem is, as St. Paul points out, not with whether or not they have our best interest at heart, but whether or not what they think is our best interest is actually our best interest. Now, we have a God who has redeemed us and saved us and brought us into the new reality of his love through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a person who has our best interest at heart at all times and in all circumstances. And there are many who we gather with on a regular basis, whether it's here in church or friends and neighbors that we know are God-fearing, Jesus-believing Christians. Those who have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in them and therefore set their minds on the things of the Spirit. But we also rub shoulders and have acquaintances and neighbors and friends and have words beamed into our ears and our eyes and our houses from people who still think they have our best interest in mind, but their mind is set on the things of the flesh. They're not believers in Christ. They're not holding to the reality of Jesus' death and resurrection for them, saving them from their sins. And so whatever is in their mind, no matter what they think about it, it is a mind that is set on the flesh. And Paul says to set the mind on the flesh is death, in distinction to setting the mind on the Spirit, which is life and peace. I don't know about you, but I'm really not ready to take advice from someone whose mind is set on the flesh and death. I don't care how much they think they have my best interest at heart. This is the interesting time in which we find ourselves. It's always been so, but I think in many ways it's brought much closer to the forefront of reality, because as the world has continued to pull away from Christ, as Western civilization has pulled away from Jesus and all that God has done for us as a society, more and more people are set with their minds on the flesh and death. They don't think so. They think these are good things. But Jesus' word does not fail us, and neither do the words of his apostles whom he sent to teach us the truth. And it's in this context that we should hear Jesus speak to us today when he says, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, says Paul. This is in the back of our mind today. Now, the Pharisees and Sadducees should certainly have had the best interest, especially in a religious context, the best interest of everyone in Israel at heart. The Pharisees sat on the seat of Moses. It was their responsibility not only to judge things according to God's law and point people to the reality of what God has said through the Old Testament and the law of Moses, but they too were to point people to the new reality that was coming in the person and work of Jesus. But along with the Sadducees, who were sad, you see, because they denied so many of the teachings of the Bible. They didn't even believe in an afterlife. They probably barely believed in angels, if at all. Remember, it's the Sadducees who asked Jesus the question about whose wife will she be after they rise from the dead. And they asked this question because they didn't even believe that there is a resurrection of the dead. They denied the very tenet of their faith, which says that God is the God of the living. "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob," says the God of the Bible. The God of the living, not the dead. But the Sadducees, being so sad, you see, didn't even believe that. They had their minds fully set on things of the flesh, the things of this world, the things that surround us every day, the things that demand our attention here and now, every moment. Because, of course, there's nothing that comes later. The things that distract us from real life in a real world where Jesus is King and Lord and ruler over all things, a real life and a real world, a reality that will endure beyond the grave when Jesus raises our bodies from the dead and brings us to eternal life. And that's one of the things that our friends and neighbors and those who we associate with who do not have the Holy Spirit and faith in their hearts can't bring to the table. It It's impossible for them to think beyond the confines of this world to the greater realities that await humankind. They can only think of what is here and now. And so, as Paul says, their minds are set on the flesh, on the things that bring about death, whether it's the death of our spirit or the death of our flesh. So they can't really consider what is best for us, can they? Because they can only think according to their own frame of reference, which doesn't consider the things of God, which doesn't consider our faith, which doesn't consider the reality of Jesus' death for sinners, carrying us through the difficult and interesting times in which we live to a world and a new creation. And so it may be with the best of intentions that they advise us to harm ourselves or others, at least in a spiritual sense. So to know and distinguish what reality is, we must have ears that are tuned in carefully to hear and discern, to make a distinction between error and truth. And that, too, is becoming increasingly difficult. Because in addition to our friends and neighbors not having the Spirit of Christ dwelling in them, able to give us good advice about how to live in this world for the world that is to come, we ourselves still have the old sinful nature, which likes to hear about the things of the flesh, which is intent on following the path of death rather than eternal life. And so, the things of this world sound intriguing. They sound even beneficial to us in the midst of life here and now. After all, we have to make it to tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. Little do we know, at some point in time, God is going to tell us the same thing that he told the man who built bigger barns. I've come for you. Today is the last day, and then who will inherit what you have built? So the danger for us living in the interesting times in which we live is that many of our friends and allies have become tools of our enemies. They do intend what is best for us, but they don't know what is best for us. And oftentimes what they think is best for us has been spoken into their ear by those who desire our hurt and our harm. So you need to know the truth. This is what Jesus is telling us in our text. The Pharisees ought to have had the best interest of all of Israel in mind. The Sadducees likewise were put into an office for the benefit of the people. They ought to have had the best interest of those under their care at heart. But they didn't. John the Baptist calls them, and Jesus calls them, a brood of vipers. Who told you to flee from the coming wrath? Asks John. Jesus points to them as well, especially in our text today, and says, beware of the leaven, the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, he doesn't say, stay away from the Pharisees and Sadducees altogether. He doesn't say, avoid them. He says, be aware, be attentive, watch out, he says. Know truth and error. Know what is the word of God, no matter who speaks it, whether it's them or someone else. Remember, it was the high priest Caiaphas who rightly prophesied that it is better for one man to die than for all the people to perish. So even when you hear the word of God spoken by someone who is outside the faith or only tangentially related, we ought to pay attention to that. The leaven works both ways. When we speak the truth into the ears of others, it becomes the leaven of Christ in the world, bringing blessing and help and benefit. Jesus here speaks of a different kind of leaven, the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, the leaven of the devil himself, who even at the very beginning of creation brought a false teaching of doubt and unbelief into the ears of Eve, so that she reached out and ate of the fruit which God told her not to eat. And then she gave some to her husband, and he ate. It is, says Jesus, the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees, or in our day, any unbeliever, of which we ought to beware. Which means we have work to do, to know both truth and the error. We can't stick our head in the ground thinking that, oh, we don't have to pay any attention to what anyone else is saying. No, we need to actually look carefully at what they say and look at it in light of biblical truth and compare it line for line, statement for statement, word for word, if necessary. Because elsewhere, Jesus says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so what starts out today is one little statement, one little word that just isn't quite right, turns into a whole chaotic mess some years down the line. You've heard of the slippery slope, right? And usually when I say ask that question, people go, psh. The slippery slope. Yeah, oh yeah, this year it's going to be people demanding, oh, love is love, and this person should be able to love that person, and what happens in the bedroom doesn't make any difference. Now, the slippery slope argument 30 years ago was, if we let that happen today, sometime down the line, this 40-year-old man will want to marry this 2-year-old girl, for reasons that are not quite appropriate. And have you watched the news lately? Have you seen the arguments that, well, pedophilia is simply a different sexual orientation and needs to be accepted and written into acceptable law, and we shouldn't make any bones about it? The slippery slope is real. Jesus himself says so. A little leaven, any bread makers? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. One false word can lead a person to hell, especially if they're a believer who simply imbibes the reality, or the unreality, more often than not, that reaches their ears and their eyes. So that in the midst of this world, they are stripped further and further from Christ. And so we have our gospel lesson today, reminding us of who Jesus is and what he came to do, reminding us of the reality that the world out there is hostile to our faith. The Pharisees and Sadducees were just the one group that Jesus could point to in his day that should have been friends and allies and unquestioningly listened to, because they sat in appropriate offices given to them through God's ordaining. The Pharisees sitting on the seat of Moses, the Sadducees holding a position on the council in Jerusalem. These are people who the people of Israel should have just been able to listen to them and accept that they had their best interests at heart. But it would be the Pharisees, Paul himself being one, who would persecute the way of God, who would jail Christians, who would put them to death, as they did Stephen, the first martyr. Beware, says Jesus, not out of fear, not out of anxiety, not to make you worry about, oh, all the stuff going on out there, but to keep you safe in the midst of this world which is seeking your destruction. Safe in the midst of a reality where there is a real devil, real evil, a real hell, which seeks to pull you away from Christ, who has already come to you and rescued you, who has washed you clean in the waters of your baptism, who has brought you into the way of everlasting life, so that you would dwell with him forever in eternity after he raises your physical body from the dead. There's no AI that's going to have a physical body. I don't care if they build robotics to do it. But you will rise from the dead on the last day when Jesus comes and calls forth your name so that you stand before him, ready to inherit the kingdom which he has suffered and died and risen again to prepare for you. So, dear friends in Christ Jesus, not out of fear and anxiety, but out of an awareness that the little leaven that leavens the whole lump, that can bring unbelief into your heart, works the other way as well. And your friends and your neighbors and your loved ones need the little leaven of Christ's love to be spoken into their ears and their hearts, so that they too can receive the blessings of God in Christ Jesus. So even as we are to beware, so that our faith is not corrupted by false words and of false believers, or false words of those who think they have their own our best interest in mind. Instead, we listen to the words of Christ in our heart and speak the reality of God into their ears, so that they too would receive Christ's blessing. In the name and the blessing of Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and keep your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.